We're joined by Kyle Draper of NBC Sports Boston. Hello, Kyle.
Rich, what's up, man? How are you?
Well, I want to talk about the biggest scandal in the Boston sports scene right now. Are there really people who mistake you for Sherrod Blakely?
Hey, you know what? We got so many scandals going on down here right now. I wasn't sure which one you were talking about. But, yeah, do you believe people think that I'm a Sherrod Blakely? Like, seriously, come on. Like, that's an insult. You can call me any other person out there. But A. Sherrod Blakely, of all people, it's so funny. We did a segment about two seasons ago, I guess, Gal and I. We had fun with it. And so I suggest people go out there, search the web, and they'll see that I'm tired of being called A. Sherrod Blakely.
Yeah, it is an outrage. And look, we love Sherrod. He's great. But when it comes to fashion sense, let's be honest.
And that's what I'm talking about. Like, it's a no-brainer, right? I mean, that's the thing that upsets me the most. I actually put thought into what I wear and my appearance. Sherrod just rolls out of bed and throws whatever on and get people, you know, somehow confuse me for him. I just don't understand.
No, it makes no sense at all. All right, well, let's get to the other somewhat important stuff. Red Sox, did they do the right thing in getting rid of Cora even before the investigation into the Red Sox role in cheating?
Yeah, I think so, because the writing was on the wall, right? I mean, you saw what happened there in Houston with Hinch and the GM getting suspended a year. You know, and then it seems like Cora was implicated as one of a central figure in that. And so it was just a matter of time. And so I fully expected him to get some sort of suspension a year, maybe even longer. And so, you know, once that happens, you can't have the guy manage the team. And so I think the Red Sox organization and the higher-ups saw the writing on the wall. And, you know, the evidence that MLB has starting Alex Cora was so damning that there was no way to keep his job.
Who will want this job now? You're trying to trim payroll. You may be looking at, similar to Houston, losing some draft picks over a couple of years. A team in turmoil, it would seem. It's not exactly an inviting place for someone to land.
Yeah, but Rich, it's still Boston. It's still the Red Sox. And we talk about trimming payroll. You know, I still guarantee you the Red Sox will be a top 10 payroll team. They may not be one or two like they have been in years past, but it's not like they're going to be the Tampa Bay Rays or Pittsburgh Pirates out there or anything like that. We're not talking about, you know, and they still have some talent on the team. Look at some of the names on the team. And so they're talking about trimming payroll, but they're not going to slash the roster and just get rid of everybody. It's still going to be a competitive team. And you may have to take your lumps early, you know, like you said, with some fines and some draft picks. But, you know, on the field, there still should be a competitive team.
You think the actions of Major League Baseball, the commissioner's office, the Astros, and the Red Sox will put an end to this cheating, or will teams just get more creative?
No, they'll get more creative, right? I mean, you look at PEDs, and, you know, it's just whatever the latest thing is. You cheat until you get caught, you know, and so I think there'll still be, I don't know if it'll be as organized as this Astros thing was. You know, this is, you know, sort of organization-wide, right? You know, I could see players, you know, all as old as time, they try to steal signs on the field. I don't know if it'll be as orchestrated as we saw with these two franchises here recently.
We're talking with Kyle Draper of NBC Sports Boston. Celtics have begun back-to-backs tonight, taking on the Detroit Pistons. Anything to worry about up against this struggling Pistons team?
I don't think so. This Pistons team, like you said, is struggling. Five games out of a playoff spot. They're down some big-name players. No Blake Griffin, no Reggie Jackson, Luke Kennard. So you're talking three starters. They still have Andre Drummond and Derrick Rose, but a couple weeks ago, the Celtics beat up on them by 21, I think it was. It'll hurt not having Tatum tonight, but I think they're saving Tatum for that big game tomorrow against Milwaukee. And so they still should be able to beat Detroit, even without Tatum.
I know he's not the best defensive player in the world, but am I wrong to really like what Enes Kanter's been bringing to the table?
No, you know, and what's interesting is the defensive numbers suggest he's one of the best defensive players. I mean, we know that's not the case. We know it's a product of who you're out there. But the effort he's brought every night, I think he's been one of the biggest surprises. You could throw him and Daniel Tice in that mix. And so the narrative before the season was, oh, this will be a bad defensive team for the Celtics. But, yeah, here they are, a top-five defensive team. And I think a big reason why is the play of the big men. Cantor battles night in and night out. We know he's going to get your points. We know he's going to get your rebounds. And he's playing halfway decent defense. I think he's been in perfectly.
You think there's any chance that the Celtics are thinking more about the Bucks than the Pistons tonight?
There could be. And that's something to watch early, right, Rich? Just to see how they come out. If I'm the Celtics, knowing that I do have the Bucks tomorrow, I want to make quick work of these Detroit Pistons. I would imagine Brad Stevens is telling these guys, we got to be dialed in right from the get-go. You know, think about it. And with a back-to-back, a tough one on the road tomorrow, ideally you'd want guys like Kemba Walker and Gordon Hayward and Jaylen to be able to rest that fourth quarter. And so I do worry a little bit about looking ahead, but, you know, this is, to me, the perfect game to go out there, make quick work of Detroit, and get on the road to Milwaukee.
A great performance, a career best, 41 points against the Pelicans for Jason Tatum over the weekend. Is he maybe ahead of where you thought he'd be at this point in his career?
I think so. You know, everybody talked about leap. You know, he had the dunk on LeBron, and some people think he regressed. You know, he's a 20-point-per-game scorer in only his third year, and he's doing it on a contending team. It's not like he's playing with one of these bottom feeders getting meaningless points. He's putting up points, you know, for an Eastern Conference contender with all-stars on the team, Gordon Hayward, Kemba Walker. And so it what's scary, Rich, is that he could be so much better, right? Look at his efficiency numbers, finishing around the paint. He's not that strong yet at doing that. If he makes three or four extra baskets, extra layups, you're talking about a 27, 28-point-per-game scorer we have on this team.
All right, Drapes, what time do we tune in tonight for Celtics pregame live?
6 o'clock, special one-hour pregame live. Take you up to tip-off between the Celtics and Pistons. I'll be joined by Chris Mannix, so you got to make sure you tune in, eat your dinner while watching us. Have a good time.
We'll be there. Can't wait for it tonight, NBC Sports Boston for Celtics and Pistons. Kyle, thanks as always. Enjoy the game. We'll check with you again next week.
All right, Rich, take care, man.
That's Kyle Draper. Joins us every Wednesday on the program. Our Boston Insiders brought to you by the Ground Round. Happy hour pricing, 3 to 6. Specials during games, great service, and amazing food. Your locally owned and operated Ground Round on the Island Road, Bangor.